Denk an den 31. Juli.
Wieso?
Last Call für deine Steuer.
Oh no, ich weiß gar nicht, wo ich anfangen soll.
Weil wieso Steuer? Das ist wie Steuererklärung, nur ohne Stress.
Ist das einfach?
Klar, macht fast alles automatisch.
Dauert das lange?
Nö, einfach per App.
Na dann.
Hol dir jetzt dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer. Bis zum 31. Juli abgeben.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
He has been supplanted by Ron White.
Yes.
Possibly the greatest hair in comedy. Is that your usual introduction?
What about, yeah, greatest hair in comedy. That's what I'm usually looking for. I want people to acknowledge. Also, I have very nice teeth, and I'm wealthy.
And he's a sharp professor.
So if you're looking for those qualities in a guy, overlook a gut, you know, just to get past that to the you've hair, got that, teeth, and money.
Yeah, you've got that Teddy Kennedy hair thing going. I mean,
but you know, I don't have that Teddy Kennedy. I met one of the. No, was it Kennedy? What was the guy's name? It was Maria Shriver's brother.
Sergeant?
Sergeant Shriver?
That
no.
That was her dad.
Yeah, that was her dad.
When I was a little boy, by the way, I always thought, well, you think with the president is your brother.
I got to go to the
captain, at least.
I was on the road one time, and my wife at the time called me and said, guess what I won at a charity auction? I'm like, win? Won something? You won something? A weekend at the Kennedy compound. I'm like, how much to win that for? $20,000. I'm like, you didn't win a trip to the Kennedy. So we went, and Bobby picked us up at the airport with his lovely wife.
Young Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby.
Literally.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
You're not that old. Yeah,
no, this just happened about a couple years ago. So.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But we ended up hanging out at their place, and I forgot why I was telling the story. That's where I'm at right now in my life. I forgot why I was telling the story. That's why I should call my new album that. I forgot why I was telling the story. But it was important.
I might want to write that down so you don't forget.
Yeah, good. Jot that down for
me. Yeah, yeah.
You got a pen?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
What were we doing?
Now, Ron, Ron White, you're also an entrepreneur. You have your own brand of tequila.
Yes, I do.
And mysteriously, these number one tequila
cups
have been lying around here for years.
Years?
Years.
We haven't had the company that long.
No.
Why come I keep seeing these?
About last year we had some of that in studio,
yeah.
And we all enjoyed it.
Yes, we did.
Very much.
Oh, we can duplicate that right now. I'm going to send Pat out to get a bottle of it. Yeah, Alex Raimundo and I are partners in this company. It's a tequila we've been drinking in Mexico for years, and it's never been available here. And we got here, and we just didn't like the way other tequilas tasted. And it was winning competitions in Mexico, and that's hard to do because there's another 300 companies you've never heard of.
Ooh.
And so we brought it here, and we drink a lot of it.
Have you gone off the scotch? Because you were kind of a famous scotch
guy. Yeah, right. No, I don't. I quit drinking scotch probably 6 years ago and started drinking nothing but this tequila. And it was the problem with scotch is, and I drink a lot of it, scotch is a depressant. So all alcohol is a depressant except for tequila, which is a stimulant. That's true. It's very true. Look it up.
Really?
And it's a completely different drug. Completely different drug than any other kind of liquor. And late at night, I would start to get morose, which makes nobody horny. I don't know if you've noticed that, but morose doesn't work. And tequila, you know, dance. So that's it's a bit better. It's way better for you. The agave plant is just crazy, just how good it is. I mean, you burn your skin, just grab a hunk of it, rub it on there. It's better. So it's better for you to drink it, too. It's better. It's good stuff. And not just mine. Mine's just the best of all of them.
Uh-huh.
But
okay,
you can drink
it. Well,
look
at that.
Speaking
of
there. Someone just brought in a nice box containing
good stuff,
a bottle,
man.
Of number one tequila.
Well, we entered the five biggest competitions in the country when we brought it here, and out of those five competitions, we won 2 bronze medals, 2 silver medals, and 10 gold medals.
Wow.
The extra añejo has never been beaten in a competition by anybody, ever. Nobody.
Oh, that's nice. Now, just to go back one story,
I owe you $12,000, don't I?
I was just thinking about something. I spilled over. You won this weekend at the Kennedy compound, and Bobby picked you up.
Bobby picked me up. His brother-in-law. We went out on the down at the Kennedy World, wherever it is, and they're the boats and stuff.
Hyannisport.
Hyannisport.
Yeah,
that's
where
it.
They lived.
I assume it would be very odd for someone to pick you up and you become the designated driver.
Yeah, right. No, I'm just saying this guy
Isn't
was so unbelievably beautiful.
Oh.
And he was 51 or something like that, and just completely ripped. And never wore shoes or shirt. I wouldn't wear a shirt. I would own a shirt if I looked like that without a shirt. I would just walk around with no shirt on. And I caught myself just gazing at him. It's like my relationship with Chris Hemsworth. I just can't quit looking at that guy. And every once in a while, I'll think, man, I'll be watching another movie just wishing Chris Hemsworth was in it without a shirt on. And I'm like, what are you thinking? Come on, man. Stop it, Ron. Stop it. But he's just the prettiest guy. And everybody was, I kind of thought, well, we're going to get there. This is going to be a prize people buy just for a donation to the charity,
sure.
Waterkeepers. But nobody uses it because I know that John Paul DeJoria bought it 5 years and never went. So I'm like, well, we're going to be standing outside this big compound knocking on the door and they're going to be, they showed up. Oh, my God. But it turns out the Kennedys, really good hosts. That's what they're best at is hosting. They're hostess with the mostest.
Did you bring some of your
tequila?
Number one tequila?
Well, I had my bus there, so yeah, there was tequila nearby.
Oh, you drove you went over there in the bus?
Yeah, well, we were just up there on tour, kind of scheduled some dates around, stopping by the Kennedy compound. And there's no gate to it. Not a gate. You just walk right. You can walk up to anybody's house. The president's house is still there. Bobby lives in Bobby's dad's old house, and Ethel's still there in her house. Now, she's got, you can't get too close to it, but it looks like you could just walk right on up to it. But we had dinner with her. I sat right next to her at dinner at her place. And
does she know, is she familiar with your work?
She is now.
You told her the tater salad story without even her asking?
No, I left out a lot of things. But she was charming and funny, and it was a pretty good experience, I thought.
Ron White, by the way, is on tour.
It wasn't worth $20,000.
That was going to be my next question.
Ron White is on tour. It's tonight at the Murat, then it's the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor. Also coming up, Champaign, Illinois on March 1st, Ames, Iowa, St. Louis.
Ames, Iowa?
Yeah.
Wow. Let's go.
We'll be at Iowa State.
Oh, you will? That's the name of
it? No, you will.
You will.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
Oh, I thought you said we will. Are you?
I never go anywhere
with me.
I got young children. I got to hang out.
He doesn't do anything. Don't worry.
Don't feel bad. I'm busy. Now, Rocky, are you a man of population? Do you have any kids?
Yeah, man. I got four kids, and my 11th grandchild's doing April.
Wow. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, my kids, they like the sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not even making this up. One time I took two little ones to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, and it was packed. I go, all right, guys, as soon as I said don't take off, and they were little, like they were like 3 and 5, they both took off in opposite directions. Like, how do you come home with one kid? You know what I mean? It's like,
I got to pick one.
Yeah, pick your favorite.
Mm-hmm. With the best, most potential. So I know you're not supposed to think like this as a grandpa, but I had to make a decision. I go, I'm going to chase the skinny one because we can always catch up with the chubby one. He's going to be running a little slower. And I found him over by the food court, so it worked out okay. Yeah.
Rocky Laporte is on tour with Ron White. Ron, how much time do you go on tour these days every year?
I did 112 cities last year.
Oh.
I'll do another 112 this year. You know, the thing is, I can't stay good at it. If I don't work, I'm not as good a comic. I got to stay on stage all the time. You saw how my brain works just now. It fades in, fades out. Some days it's really sharp. You've seen me come on this radio show and not even think of be able to think of one thing to say. Because sometimes my brain just shuts completely off. And so I just have to do a lot of stand-up to be any good at it. And, you know, people are still coming out in these big theaters, and, you know, they deserve to be spanked. And so for me to be able to spank them, I got to do a lot of sets.
Now, can people try your tequila at all your shows? Is that something you've been able to get done?
Hey, if we sell it in that state, they can. They can go to taterstequila.com and we'll send it to your house.
No kidding.
Yeah, taterstequila.com. Say it with me one time, taterstequila.com.
Taters Tequila.
Not you guys. I'm talking about the people at home. I've got it here. But yeah, it's so in that respect, it's available everywhere. And we'll send it to your house, and it'll change the way you think about tequila. It's
and possibly life.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful bottle, too.
Yeah, ooh. You can pour it on a sunburn. It'll hurt, but you can do it.
It's kind of a waste.
It's good stuff.
It's like those life hacks that I find so annoying. What was the one the other day you were talking about off the air?
Life hacks.
You know, in other words, instead of actually going out and buying suntan lotion, you know, you can take, you know,
yeah,
I see.
You can take cottage cheese and toothpaste and what? Just go buy the...
Like, oh, all that homeopathic stuff is in now.
Yeah.
That's right.
But there's a whole book of life hacks where you can do things that are, you can pretty much get all this stuff store-bought.
Yeah.
You can make your own cups out of clay from your backyard. Or you can go to Walmart
and grab some cups.
If you've got $3.
It was windshield de-icer.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was windshield de-icer, and you made it with what? Denatured alcohol and...
I must have missed that day because I have no idea what you're talking about.
That works well for windshield de-icer too, right?
No, God, no. You pee on your windshield before you put this tequila on it.
Yes.
Again, my point is, if you're making your own windshield de-icer, because you can buy a really nice gallon of it pretty cheap.
At Napa.
Yeah, there you go. But you know what I have to... I'm sure that the alcohol you're buying is probably twice as expensive, and the tequila would be very expensive. That's when you're really rich, if you can put that stuff in that squirter thing in your bus.
Well, you could drink that and then pee from drinking all that onto the windshield.
Pass it through your kidneys first.
Well, yeah, if you drink all that, you'll be peeing while the car's moving. And you won't care.
Yeah, it's not a de-icer, but you know, it would work. It is alcohol. It won't freeze. I know that because I tried to freeze it. I wanted to make ice cubes out of it so I could put a cube of ice of my tequila in my tequila. I don't like to dilute it at all.
Now, Ron White's our guest, Rocky Laporte, Carmen Lynch. Are you still smoking cigars?
Yeah.
No, on stage?
Uh-huh.
Because the last time I saw you live, there was apparently some kind of a dispute about the legality.
Oh, there's always a dispute about the legality of me smoking.
Has anybody ever walked out on the stage and made you put it out?
No. You know what? I tell you, I was in Portland doing an outdoor venue. And every time I do an outdoor venue, which is rare, I'm always mad because I don't remember saying I would do it. And I find that it's outdoors, and I'm like, because you just don't want to mess with comedy that way, you know. If it's a band, and just turn it up, you know. You're outside. Comedy can go a little south on you, but and the state was on fire, and the show the night before was canceled because of air quality. I'm like, what happened between yesterday and today to make it okay for me to go out there? And they go, well, there's so many particles on them, whatever. So, and then I'm standing on the side of the stage. You can't even see all the people because it's just the haze of all the fires. And I'm about to light a cigar, and the guy goes, "You can't smoke." I'm like, "I can't smoke while I'm standing in the smoke? I can't smoke?"
Your whole stage.
He goes, "No, you can't smoke." And so I just walked out on stage, and they said, "They told me I can't smoke." And I just stood there and waited for the laugh as people figured out that I'm standing in smoke, the whole state's on fire. But if this cigar gets that way from me, there's no telling what could be going down. So,
No smoking.
So still smoke.
Yeah, I don't like going to outdoor stuff as well sometimes. If it's daylight, it's too distracting and they can't focus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wait for the lights to go down and you can see what's going on stage. This.
Well, you know what? I tell you what's even more common is people join AA just for the stage time because you get to talk in front of those groups of people and some of them are really funny and then some of them go on tour just talking about being sober. I had a brief bout with sobriety that I was able to overcome with the help of my friends and family. And I was in rehab, and I started going to AA meetings. And I'm like, this is great. I just didn't. It was. There were so many women there, and I came up with this line. I can't remember what it was now, but it was the odds are good, but the goods are odd. about AA women.
But you get some stage time. You get to try some new bits, see if they work.
I'm telling you, people did it. Because especially as a young comic, you can't get on stage in L.A. I'd go to the improv and just stand there. And Bud Friedman would come up to me, and I'm like, oh, here it comes. And he'd go, Ron, could you stand over there?
Do you ever get back to Texas? To your roots?
Yeah, I live there now. I sold the place in Georgia. Wow. And bought a condo in Austin. So I still live there, and then I still have a place in L.A.
I didn't know that. And do you still have the business that you started in when you were... weren't you buying pottery in Mexico and shipping it up here?
Oh, I lived in Mexico. I had a pottery, let's call it a concern.
was it like little black people with sombrero statues kind of thing? Or
no, it was what we did was we took existing pottery, and I was dating this girl that would do break up tile and stick it on things, and it was really pretty, and she'd take it to these art shows in lieu of a job, and she'd sell it in 3 hours. It was really pretty, but it took her 6 months to make 5 pieces, and like it's like, okay, this is not a... And I just started thinking one day, why doesn't somebody go to Mexico? There's an answer. So literally, I moved to Mexico, and I have the biggest truck rider rents, and the biggest trailer that they rent behind my van, all full of my stuff, and I moved to Mexico. 4 years later, I have the exact same equipment pointed the opposite direction, headed back to America. Well, that was stupid. Some of my biggest mistakes were really well planned out. You know, they were just, I had a goal, I had a reason, I thought about it, and it was wrong. Just end up sitting in the middle of it.
But you never know unless you try.
Right. Yeah. Have some tequila.
Yeah.
And some of that probably still happening in your life, even though you
probably.
Great,
and I don't even know it. I've got things going on in my head right now that are probably as wrong as they can be.
Now, do you have any hobbies? I mean, do you.
Oh, yeah, I play a lot of golf.
Play golf?
Yeah, a ton of golf.
Are you getting better?
I'm probably as good now as I've ever been. You know,
really?
I play.
Oh, that's good.
I have a guy that watches my swing, and I got a coach or whatever that kind of keeps it on track, and, you know, I'm okay at it.
Do you have your own brand of balls or anything?
I got my own balls.
I thought you'd lost those.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, oddly enough, I tell you another story, but I'm not going to tell you.
Sorry. We have Christy. Why don't we grab a couple quick news stories here, Christy? We got to find out what's happening. Anything unusual in the world?
Well, did you hear about Chevy Chase? He had a little incident.
I did hear about this. He almost got his ass kicked.
Yeah, New York State police report actor Chevy Chase got into a road rage incident in which he chased a driver, then got himself kicked. This happened February 9th near South Nyack, New York. Chase, 74, told police he was cut off by another driver on New York's Tappan Zee Bridge, and believing the truck had hit him, the actor followed the vehicle until the driver pulled over. Now, according to police documents, Chase realized there was no damage, but approached the driver anyway, just to speak to him about his
Chevy's,
reckless driving.
What is he, 70-something?
74, I said.
Okay.
Yes.
74, picking fights.
Yeah. I read a report that said the guy, it wasn't actually a road rage incident. The guy was just upset for paying for cops and Robertsons.
As he walked up to the car, one of the occupants in the car flipped him off, though. Apparently, Chevy replied, "If I were a lot younger, I'd bust your nose." One of the individuals reportedly kicked him in the shoulder. That's a hell of a kick.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, they were still in the truck, I guess.
Kung Fu dude.
Wow.
Wow.
But still.
Yeah, opened the door and kicked him right in the shoulder if he was up.
Unless Chevy Chase is really tiny.
Yeah. He's real tall. Yeah. He's like 6'4", I think.
The truck's driver claims Chase tried to punch him first, which the actor said was not possible since he suffered a small fracture in his arm due to a recent fall. Yet I've been dead.
Real recent.
Yeah.
Right after he got kicked in the shoulder.
The unidentified
I love Chevy. I'm,
kicker
I,
was cited for second.
I even like his bad movies. I think he's great.
He is very funny.
I met him on a plane not long ago. It could have been 12 years. I don't know. Because it all blends together. But just ended up going to the same place I was. I don't remember where it was. But we started talking. He was familiar with my work, which always shocks me if somebody famous knows who I am. And I love his movies too. I think they're great. He had that face surgery thing, and he ended up looking really strange for a while. But now it's all kind of loosening up a little bit. I thought, hey, it looks better. It's starting to fit.
Yes.
Yeah. Ron, you've had some temper tantrums in your career.
What?
Where do you hear this stuff from you?
I hit a guy in the jaw and. As hard as I could, twice in somewhere in New York, Albany, New York. I just played the Palace Theater, and we were going to go get something to eat, and it was a restaurant attached to the hotel, and my bus was across the street. Because I always stay on my bus, and this girl came over and started talking to us at our table, and I don't know her, her sister does stand up in New York, and Vic Henley was the opening act, and he does stand up in New York, and he knows her. So they were talking across the table. I just, if it wouldn't have been for that, I'd have shooed her away because I was trying to eat my crappy little piece of tilapia.
You must do very well.
She gets up and leaves, and she comes back, and she has her sister on the phone, and she's headlining a club that Vic and I headlined forever in Columbus, Ohio. And so she hands the phone to Vic. She sits down next to me, and Vic can't hear, so he gets up and walks away. And then a guy comes over to her. So some guy came up to me and asked me, a young guy, for an autograph. I said, I'm trying to eat right now. And this guy comes over, pokes her in the shoulder and says, get over here. And she gets up real nervous and walks over there. And I'm like, ah, man, what is this? And I see the guy walking over towards me. And he goes, how come you took a picture with my girlfriend? Didn't take a picture with my son? But both of them were connected to this guy. And I don't know. I don't know anything. But he was standing up and I was sitting down. So I started to stand up, and he shoved me back down in my chair.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, all right, okay. And so it was ugly. It was a nice place, too. Wine glasses, tablecloths, and it all went flying. Ooh. And I got up and shoved him, and he took a big swing at me and hit me, but not really with a punch, but hit me and left his jaw just hanging out there. And I'm like, all right, here you go, buddy. You can't leave your jaw hanging out there. And I just, boom, boom. And he called the cops and filed assault charges on me, or tried to, and the cops showed up, and I was like, oh, come on, man.
The old Chevy Chase shoulder kick.
So it's
hard sometimes.
You know. So now, you know, and that's why now I have to have police everywhere I go, because it probably nothing will happen, but if it does, I can't hit people.
Yeah.
I'm 61. I don't need to be getting in fights or anything. And Pat, who's not very big, but my guy, Pat, that drives a bus and manages my road stuff, he's a little guy in stature, but he was he's a seventh-degree black belt. And so he actually got this guy in a sleeper hold from behind after I hit him. And then the guy started tapping him on the arm, and he goes, this ain't the MMA. You're going to the floor.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You think Chevy Chase would know better. I mean, you don't pull over somebody on the freeway after they've
been hit. Well, he said he thought he was hit. He thought the guy had hit him.
But he also apparently has a bit of a temper.
Chevy was mad because the guy didn't recognize him.
That's another thing. I bet he didn't. I mean,
I bet he didn't.
You wouldn't expect Chevy Chase to, yeah.
Especially out of context. And
right.
Unless if you'd watched Community, you'd recognize the 70-ish-year-old Chevy Chase.
But these guys are probably, younger.
Well, he was famous on television in the mid-70s.
That's what I'm saying.
A series of great movies.
Guys weren't even born yet.
Yeah, you forget that these guys still are alive, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I liked him on Community.
I did too.
I hope someone uses him again. He's very funny. He's got that X factor. Like Ron. Are you famous in any other countries? Have you ever been to Australia or England?
I did shows in London last year, but I'm not famous there.
How did it go?
Great. Excuse me. I play like a 400 seat theater, and I'm murdered. Got really great reviews in the London Times, and so I'm going to go back again this year.
But no, you haven't been to Australia?
But I'll call this. I'll tell you, this is a pretty funny story. I had to call and promote the shows because they don't play my stuff on TV. And I called this radio station in London. This is what this DJ says to me. Wrong. Every time a celebrity calls our radio station, we always ask the same question. If you could have a conversation with anyone, living or dead, who would it be? And I said, living. And he tried to explain it to me. He's like, no, what I'm saying is, if you could talk to someone, what is that? I get it.
Yeah,
trying to make this funny.
I kind of hate the standard question thing.
Oh, but, yeah.
I don't know. Do we have any? I suppose we probably do.
Yeah, so. You always ask musicians what their first band was.
Oh, that's fun, though.
And you ask famous people what the first thing they bought with their money.
When they had money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a great question for comedians, though.
Yeah.
Which is,
what was your first?
About their a bit that they
yeah,
love.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, that no one else likes.
Yeah, the story behind that involves George Carlin. We were talking to George, and the comedy wasn't coming, and it was getting more and more painful. And so I said, George, do you have a comedy thing that you're doing that everyone hates except for you? And he went, oh, yeah. And he launched into this really funny thing that he'd been trying it. Everyone told him it's not funny, don't do it. But I have since found that's almost every comedian has something that they love that nobody else does. They have a particular piece or a topic. I'm not going to force you to come up with one.
I love all my stuff. And the crowds, they just eat it up.
Ron is the distiller, is that the word? The proprietor of the brand called Number One Tequila.
I don't know what I am.
Yeah, and
but it's we got this thing called you can help us build this brand by going to armyofjuan.rocks. Mm.
Juan is spelled J-U-A-N, by the way.
Yeah, that was all Alex Raimundo's idea.
Dot rocks?
That's what it says here.
It's early in the morning.
I don't know. Dot rocks? I don't know. It says you can go to... this is a new thing we're doing to help us raise money. We want to build our own distillery because we can't make enough of this. Our tequila is made at the ugliest... dustiest nobody from the tequila tours ever go in it because there's nearly dead dogs laying around and fat people in dirty shirts and the
but
glasses.
But the tequila's very good.
It's tasty.
Tequila is off. The first time Alex took me there, I didn't want to go in. I'm like, I'm not going in there.
Let me tell you how marketing works.
Yeah, here it is.
I'm just saying we need a new one, so we're trying to raise money through Army of Juan. And
it works. I'm there right now.
Yeah. Army of Juan dot rocks works just fine.
Yes. Oh, it does.
Yes, sir.
Do you drink it? You don't drink it on the rocks, do you?
I don't. I drink it, as you can see, I pour it into a cup and drink it out of the cup. And quite frankly, I drink it out of the bottle, too. So you can drink it any way you want to.
Okay.
It's the finest drink. But taterstequila.com will ship it to you.
Okay, that's cool.
Real quick, before I leave, I always like to say thank you to Tom for everything he does for stand-up comedy. Oh,
thank
you. He's been... a catalyst for a lot of careers, and he's done it selflessly, and he's always here, and he's always supportive, and I guarantee you, we all sell more tickets because of you, and I thank you for that. Well,
that's very kind, Ron. It's going to be a great show.
The rest of you, not so much.
United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.